Question 62. She was out in the flower bed, crushing snails, and more on them later, when she happened to glance up into the burning eyes of an optical illusion. Without her glasses, and given the looming obstruction of the brim of her straw gardener's hat, which kept slipping down the crest of her brow every time she bent forward, she couldn't be sure what she was seeing at first. She was wearing the hat, even though it was overcast, because the doctor had removed a basal cell carcinoma from the lobe of her left ear 6 months ago, and she wasn't taking any chances, not with the hole in the ozone layer and the thinning, or was it thickening, of the atmosphere. She was wearing sunblock, too, though it had been raw and gray all week, grayer than she would have imagined last winter when she was living in Wanaki, Wisconsin, with her sister Anita, and thinking of palm trees and a fat, glowing postcard sun that melted everything away in its wake. It never rained in Southern California, except that it had been raining all week, all month, and the snails, sliding along on their freeways of slime, loved it. They were everywhere, chewing holes in her nasturtiums, yellowing at the tips of her kaffir lilies, and sucking at the bright orange flowers till the delicate petals turned brown and dropped off. Which was why she was out here this morning, early, before Doug was awake, while the mist clung like gauze to the ground and the L.A. Times landed with a resounding thump in the driveway, down on her hands and knees, crushing snails with a garden trowel. She was a vegetarian, like her sister. They'd made a vow when they were in junior high, and she didn't like to kill anything, not even the flies that gathered in fumbling flotillas on the windowsill. But this was different. This was a kind of war. The snails were an invasive species, the very same escargot people paid $15 a plate for in the restaurant, brought here at the turn of the last century by a French chef who was a little lax in keeping them in their pens or cages or whatever. They were destroying her plants, so she was destroying them. The tip of the trowel closed over the wall of the shell, and then she pressed down and was rewarded by an audible pop as the shell gave way. She didn't want to look. Didn't want to see the naked dollop of meat trying to follow its probing antennae out of the ruin of its shell, and so she pressed down again until the thing was buried, each snail following the next to its grave. And then she looked up. And what she saw didn't compute, not at first. Right there, right behind the wrought iron fence Doug had put up to keep the deer out of her garden, there seemed to be a big cat watching her. A big striped cat the size of a pony. A tiger, that's what it was. A tiger from India with a head as wide across as the pewter platter she trucked out each Thanksgiving for the veggie cornucopia. She was startled. Who wouldn't be? She'd seen tigers at the zoo, on the Nature Channel, in cages at the circus, but not in her own backyard in Moore Park, California. Might as well expect a polar bear in the Bahamas or a warthog at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion. It took her a minute. Staring into the yellow eyes and the blistered snout from 30 feet away.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?